Welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast, Diverse Models. Hi, I'm Nathan Ives. Along with my co-host, Howard Dickens, we would like to welcome you to this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, Diverse Models. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve better results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag posts found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. This podcast examines the best practice of using diverse models during the performance of a strategic analysis, thereby creating a complete picture of organizational performance and business opportunities and vulnerabilities to be used in the strategic planning process. And so now, without any further delay, let's get started.
Hey.
Hey,
Nathan Ives, what's happening, buddy?
Well, I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. It's a wonderful Thursday and just excited about life. And I mean, it's just exciting to be involved in such an awesome with an awesome guy like yourself and putting out these tools, you know, for decision makers, leaders, managers, and you know, leaders at every level, and that are really, really interested in doing better, you know, making better decisions, going to new levels in their organizations and with their groups or associations, whatever the case may be, and doing it in a way that's strategy driven. So that's really exciting.
Oh, it is. And you know, we have been getting an incredible response from our listeners, and the listener base is growing. So we're getting a lot more downloads on every podcast. In fact, a lot of people are going back and downloading the previous podcasts. So we're seeing just huge volume increases in the downloads lately. So I'm just thrilled, and I'm excited.
I'm not surprised. I tell you, you may have to come out and let everybody see you. You know, I mean, you're really making a lot of noise over the internet.
Well, you know,
and I'm just glad to be, you know, taking notes. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're doing a lot more than taking notes, Howard. This would not be the podcast it is without you. And you know, I hope our listeners know that, you know, we're both kind of open for speaking engagements.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hope they do. Well, if they didn't, they know it now.
Well, yeah, that's right. And, you know, if they want to find out more about that, yeah, they just shoot us an email at podcast@strategydriven.com or, you know, on the website, on the left sidebar, they can email you directly or they can email me directly. So that's always available to them too. So the good email link is there. And yeah, because we're available. We can go and speak for people and be happy to reach out and be part of the community outside of just what we do online.
That's right. That's right. That is so right. Well, thanks for putting in that plug. And I think our listeners, they're responding to everything else. I think they'll definitely respond to this. Oh, now, we have to put a plug in for iTunes again. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Yeah, you know, and talking about the response has been phenomenal on Podcast Alley. Right now, we're sitting in the number 2 spot for May. I'm really hoping we close out at number 2. We've got one more week to go. but we have gotten more votes this month than we have in any of our other months before. So really happy about the response we're getting on Podcast Alley. So that is just energizing. But we're still missing that ever elusive first review on iTunes. So for anyone interested in giving us a review on iTunes, and I know we keep saying it all the time, we'd love, of course, the positive review on iTunes. If you go to iTunes and you open up your iTunes and you type strategy driven in the search when you're in the iTunes store, it will bring up strategy driven podcast. And when you type strategy driven in, we're the only thing that comes up. You click on the strategy driven icon, it takes you to the strategy driven page. And if you don't see it right away, you can scroll down a little bit. And right there, kind of in the middle of the page, it'll say, click here to be the first to review this podcast. And all you have to do is click, and it makes you log on, and you type in your hopefully positive comment. Choose how many stars. We love 5 stars, of course. And hit submit. That's all it takes. So we would just love for someone to give us that, you know, ever elusive first review on iTunes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But we are feeling the love on Podcast Alley. In fact, we got another another review on Podcast Alley. Someone left us another comment. So we're really happy about that. And keep voting for us on Podcast Alley. In fact, I think coming up in the next month or two is going to be the annual Best Podcast Awards for various categories and overall, and we are certainly hoping to be in the thick of those things and you know, in the running. And so we're going to keep encouraging our listeners to go into Podcast Alley and to keep thinking about us for the annual awards as well.
All right, fantastic. Now, I think our listeners want us to would love for us to go ahead and get started for tonight, and you know, Nathan, in our last podcast, we discussed both the benefits and the risk of using models in the performance of a strategic analysis, right?
That's right.
Now, in that podcast, we spoke specifically about how any one model can tend to have a singular focus. Now, going further back, we also talked about the benefits of using diverse performance indicators and in a sense, diverse individuals by way of a multidiscipline team.
Yes.
So I'm guessing this podcast, which focuses on the use of diverse models, will follow a similar theme, which our listeners have heard before.
Well, that's right, Howard. In fact, the use of diverse models to analyze organizational performance and environmental conditions is really akin to using an assortment of organizational performance measures or a multidiscipline team. The practice itself seeks to provide a varying perspective on the same situation, leveraging a broader data and knowledge and experience base, and subsequently having a more fully characterized presentation of the existing circumstances and the future opportunities, which in turn helps decision makers identify the appropriate course of action for their organization to take going forward.
Okay. That's good. But before we get too far ahead, Nathan.
Okay.
Let's briefly outline what we're going to talk about during this podcast. Okay. Is that okay?
That's good.
Okay. First, we'll be recapping why it's important to use models during a strategic analysis. Next, we'll identify why a diverse set of models should be employed.
Okay.
Third, we'll discuss the 3 steps used to select the appropriate models for an evaluation. And then finally, we'll talk about the risk of using models describe what to do if a situation arises where an appropriate model is not available to support an evaluation.
Hey, sounds good. Sounds very good.
All right. Well, let's get started.
Okay. All righty.
Now, let's recap why it's important to use models when performing a strategic analysis, Nathan.
Okay. Well, Howard, solutions addressing today's multifaceted business challenges and opportunities can be extremely difficult to recognize, especially given the ever-increasing pace of change within the business environment, which really further complicates the problems that, you know, our companies face. In order to successfully deal with this challenge, decision makers need to have the support of people and tools to help them distill large quantities of data, recognize important business trends, discount the temporary fads that are mixed in with those trends, mm-hmm. and then translate their findings into meaningful organizational activities. Models help analysts not only make sense of this large and rapidly changing body of data, but they also help them to present the resulting information in a simplistic, understandable, and actionable manner.
Why then do we need to use multiple models? I mean, isn't there a silver bullet that will just give us the answer we're looking for?
Well, Howard, models tend to focus on a single aspect of either internal or external performance.
Uh-huh.
But the performance of our products and services, work groups, and individuals within the organization are not only highly interrelated with each other, they're continually impacted by changes in the business environment, an environment that's defined by government action, changing customer preferences, evolving competitive forces, suppliers, labor unions, and a whole host of other factors. Subsequently, to acquire a complete understanding of the overall performance of our products, services, business units, and individuals requires multiple indicators to compare and contrast these various and these really rather complex relationships. Because no one analysis perspective will adequately account for all of the important nuances associated with this kind of complex evaluation, multidisciplinary teams and diverse tools, such as an array of various models, mm-hmm. should be employed to establish that complete picture of organizational performance and environmental conditions.
Mm.
Okay. Use of a diverse set of models during the strategic analysis process really then does help provide that multifaceted perspective that we need to create the complete picture of business performance, opportunities, and vulnerabilities.
All right. That's good. Then tell me this.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know we're using enough or the right models?
Okay. This is going to be very similar to what we've talked about in the past with respect to diverse set of organizational performance measures or assembling a multidisciplinary team.
Okay.
Okay. So what we're going to recommend is the use of a three-step process to assemble the models to perform the strategic analysis. Okay. These three steps are, number one, the leader has to assess what areas will be analyzed during the strategic analysis. Okay. No one analysis team can boil the ocean, as it were, and assess every aspect of corporate performance. Therefore, based upon input from the organizational leadership and an assessment of the aggregate results of organizational performance measures, self-assessments, and general industry trends, The strategic analysis leader should focus the team on the few key items that are important for shaping the organization's future. Mm. Okay? Yeah. Without that focus, I mean, well, then we might as well say we'll just use every model because we're going to look at everything.
Right.
Just can't do that. So we narrow the focus. The second step, the strategic analysis leader needs to have a clear understanding of the strengths, weaknesses, and information to be gained by using each of the several models being considered for use. And we need to compare these with the aggregated information needs based on that which we defined in the evaluation scope that we defined in the first step.
Okay.
Again, this is very much like assembling a multidiscipline team. The third step then, and this step can be rather iterative over time, and that is we assemble the inventory of models that is going to optimize delivering us the information we need for our scoped evaluation. As the evaluation progresses, there are going to be some areas that become revealed that are going to require additional information. We'll have to add more models.
Mm.
There are going to be some areas where they were focus areas, we thought they were important, that we're going to come to realize that, well, they're not so important. And we're going to shed off using those models. And again, it's just because we can't boil the ocean. We can only do so much with our team. And so we have to keep an eye on what's really, truly important to setting the direction of the company. So we'll iterate through this continuously until we define those high-value things for the organization to go improve.
That's good, Nathan. That's really good. Now, before we close out this session for tonight, I want to ask you this, just for our listeners, highlight some of the risks associated with using models as they apply, whether a team is using one or many models. Could you do that?
I can do that. Good. You know, and with any tool, there's going to exist certain risks, and models are really no exception.
Mm-hmm.
There's a risk if we apply the wrong model to a particular circumstance that we're provided with information that's going to drive an inappropriate action. And, you know, that can just lead to really disastrous results. Constructing an overly simplified picture risks omission of some influential nuances that can subsequently become a challenge to us as we try to move forward with our organization's strategy. Okay, now, conversely, constructing highly detailed models can lead us to analysis paralysis, where we don't ever arrive at a conclusion, and then we don't get anything done either.
Right.
So, you know, the team's leader needs to be able to recognize the difference there. Some models rely on subjective or experience-based information, and others make use of more quantitative rather than qualitative data. It's not as important as to which model you use, but as to recognize that those that use the qualitative data, that they can be more subjective to variation, you know, depending on who is, you know, whose experience base or knowledge is being put into the qualitative model will depend on the output you receive. And so that variation can cause an increased likelihood of not achieving one's targeted goal. And so there's some risk there. So in using models and analyzing their results, you know, I can't say enough about the team leader and the team members need to fully understand the model and the data they're using, the limitations that those two pieces have. Mm. They also need to understand the situations for which the model is valid. The last piece I would just encourage people to do when using models, and really it applies to more than just models. It's even when you get feedback from performance measures and the like. Mm-hmm. We often have some extreme conditions. If something looks too good to be true, it just might be. And sometimes things just aren't quite as bad as what they kind of look like also.
Mm, that's good. Good point.
Yeah. So what I'm encouraging folks to do is you really want to validate the extremes. Give it the common sense approach. You know, does this in reality really make sense? Or is this something that came from, you know, the model that's just cranking out some numbers, and maybe our algorithm might not be applicable in all cases, is why we're getting an extreme. So we need to evaluate the extremes for reasonableness and applicability. Now, a best practice that I want to just talk about also, and I know we said we were going to address this in our opening comments. Mm-hmm. It's important if you find that applicability question coming up and we say we don't have a model that is applicable, that's mm-hmm. okay. There's not a model that fits every situation. During those times, though, it's really important to use a multidiscipline assessment team, because that helps bring to bear an increased level of knowledge and experience, as well as raising the amount of data that can be evaluated. Okay, these teams can be further enhanced if you get peers from outside the organization to participate on the team. And that might be in the way of whether they're consultants, they may be peer mentors from other organizations. They could even be within the organization or the company as a whole, but outside of the business unit. Mm-hmm. I would encourage folks to go back and listen to our podcast on multidiscipline teams, but these will help serve to enhance the robustness of the strategic analysis in the absence of one or more models.
Wow, that was good. That was really good, and I'm glad you recommended that, Nathan. This is definitely another powerful podcast. Like always, let me see if I've been taking some good notes here. Okay.
Okay, and you always do.
Well, thank you very much. Now, first, we stated that in today's data-rich, rapidly changing world, it's often difficult to identify the meaningful patterns and relationships that yield information decision makers need to set the direction of their organizations, and that models help analysts not only evaluate but present information in a simplistic, understandable, and actionable manner.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Next, we stated that because no one analysis perspective will adequately account for all the important nuances associated with a complex evaluation. Multidiscipline teams and an array of varying models should really be employed to establish a complete picture, organizational performance, and environmental conditions.
That's right, Howard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, we then describe a three-step process for identifying the needed models to perform a particular evaluation. First, the leader must identify the areas that will be analyzed during the strategic analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the analysis team leader should or needs to have a clear understanding of the strengths, weaknesses, and information to be gained by using each of several models being considered for use. And they should compare these with the aggregated information needs of the evaluation scoped involved in the first step.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, finally, on an ongoing basis, the leader adjusts the inventory of models used as inevitably new areas to be assessed will be identified.
Mm-hmm.
And some other areas will be dropped from the original analysis scope.
That's absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
Now we went on to say that there exists certain risk when using models. Now, this is very important to our listeners. Applying the wrong model to a particular circumstance can provide information that drives inappropriate actions, leading to disastrous results.
Mm-hmm.
That constructing an overly simplified picture risks omission of influential nuances that may subsequently challenge the realization of desired outcomes, and that some models rely on subjective or experience-based information than others, making their outcomes more susceptible to variation.
Mm-hmm. True. Mm-hmm.
Now, to account for these limitations and risk, we said that those using models and analyzing their results must fully understand the models and the data's limitations, as well as the situations for which the model is valid, and that the results, especially extremes, should always be validated for reasonableness and applicability.
Yes, absolutely.
And finally, we stated that there'll be times where an applicable model will not be available for a particular situation or circumstance, and that during these times, the use of a multidiscipline assessment team helps bring to bear an increased level of knowledge and experience, as well as raising the amount of data that can be evaluated.
Absolutely correct.
Wow. That was awesome.
Yeah. Mm. I love models. Mm. But, you know, I'm kind of a numbers guy. So I love
that
models.
That you are, my friend. You say you're a numbers guy, but you're a very well-rounded numbers guy.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. We would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. Note that additional information regarding strategic analysis is contained within the Strategic Analysis White Paper, accessible by registered members on the Strategy Driven website. Registered members also gain access to the many strategy-driven white papers, models, and members-only categories, and registration is always free. Until next time, so long.